This sermon was preached at Crossway Church in Battleground, Washington. We hope you enjoy.
I don't know how many of you guys are basketball fans. I am, but I didn't get a chance to watch much of the final NBA finals this last couple of weeks. But one thing I did hear as I was listening to the radio is how the Phoenix Sun fans were counting when Giannis was trying to shoot free throws to try and make him miss it. And it made me think of a movie that I like to watch. I don't know how many of you guys have ever seen the movie Hoosiers. I know it came out in the 80s, even when I was really young. But it's a good story. And it's a story of a team in small town Indiana that is competing against the big city rivals and for the state tournament. And at the end of the movie, towards the end of it, they get down to literally one of their final plays of the game. And they kind of ran stuck with the number of members of the team that they had, and their manager had to go in and play. And he gets fouled, and the other team tries to ice him, which means they called the timeout to make him sit on the bench to try and play mental games with them. And in that moment, there's all these competing voices in his head. He can literally tie the game and win the game if he makes two free throws. Now, the best part about Hoosiers is he doesn't shoot it this way. He does the old granny shot, you know? And you can see that he's getting prepped there in the photo. But I wonder if you think about all the different voices that he had in that moment. His coach, when they ice him, knows that he's nervous. And so the first thing he says is, "Ollie, you're going to make both shots. And when Ollie makes both shots, then we need to play defense and try and keep them from scoring on a last second shot." And then as he gets up and goes to the free throw line, his opponent kind of towers over him. He's this kind of small guy, and the big tall guy from the big city comes down and says, "Hey, I didn't know that they made people so small in the country." In other words, kind of implying that you're small, so small that there's no way you can do this. And then his teammate sees what had just happened. And so he comes alongside Ollie and he says, "Hey, Ollie, man, just focus and put it in the hole." And then while he's there, and as if the pressure of making the game-winning shot wasn't enough, all the fans are cheering and waving behind the backboard, trying to get him to miss it. And they're booing and yelling, "You're going to miss this." And in that moment, Ollie has a decision on what voice is he going to listen to. Is he going to listen to all those who are telling him he's going to do bad, or is he going to listen to those that say, "You have the strength to do this"? Now, I start my sermon this morning because as we read through our text, it's a parable. It's a parable that probably many of you guys are familiar to. But when we often read it, we focus on the plants, and there's a reason for that, because it's the parable of the sower. But if you pay close attention, you'll see that the word "hear" or "listen" is actually repeated over and over again. And there's an implication there that there's going to be all kinds of competing voices in our head to try and get us to stray from the word of the Lord. And so this parable reminds us that the importance of listening to the word of the Lord. So if you want to turn with me in your Bibles, here at Crossway, we're just going through the book of Luke, and we find ourselves in Luke 8, verses 1 through 15. This is the word of the Lord. "After this, Jesus traveled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Mary called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had come out, Joanna, the wife of Chuza, the manager of Herod's household, Susanna, and many others. These women were helping to support them out of their own means. While a large crowd was gathered and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable. A farmer went out to sow a seed, and as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds ate it up. Some fell on rocky ground, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop, and 100 times more than what was sown. And then he said this. He called out, 'Whoever has ears, let them hear.' Now his disciples asked him what this parable meant, and he said, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to others I speak in parables, so that though seeing they do not see, though hearing they may not understand." And this is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so they may not believe and be saved. Those on rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they will fall away. The seed that fell among the thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. Now, as we've been going through the book of Luke, we've seen that there's Jesus has faced all kinds of different situations. And in this one, Luke highlights that there's a large crowd around him and that Jesus communicates this passage to his disciples and to them. What we know, and matter of fact, in a couple of chapters here, there's going to be this turning point in the book of Luke where it's not just about Jesus's ministry and teaching and doing all the miracles that we've heard, but rather he's going to transition to Jerusalem where we know that he's going to face the ultimate goal of his life, which is his death on the cross. And in that transition to the death on the cross, what we're going to see is that these crowds that are huge and following him are going to turn away. And so Jesus is preparing his disciples and giving them an idea of what the future may bring. And so he tells them this parable to help them understand why is it that everybody who's here in this crowd may not actually be with him in the end. And so this parable is what he tells them to kind of prepare them for this event. Now, Jesus has been teaching his disciples about the kingdom of God. Luke highlights that in the very beginning of our section. He says that he traveled around and from village to village proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. Now, the kingdom of God is kind of a phrase that we can use in church, but maybe not always define it very well. And so I'm going to give you a big, long definition, but I think it's pretty all-encompassing. The kingdom of God is the presence and powerful lordship of Jesus. So ultimately, the kingdom of God is about Jesus and his reign over our lives. This kingdom is known and seen wherever Christ is acknowledged, where the subjects are saved, and where his enemies are vanquished, and where his ways are obeyed. Now, I took this from a pastor whose name is Sam Storms. I think it's very important for us to understand about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is about the salvation that Jesus brings, and it is all about that kind of salvation, but it's greater than that, because God reigns over everything. And so where the kingdom of God is acknowledged, and it will be at the end of the world when Christ comes again completely, where his reign is absolutely clear. But in this world where we're kind of in between the now and the not yet, and where we're trying to see the kingdom of God at work against the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of God is present mostly in the hearts of believers, but also in any other area that Christ is acknowledged and reigned. And sometimes people don't even know it. But some of the ways that we do it are just the ways that we go about life. But ultimately, it is at the heart. It is spread one heart seed at a time. And it includes all kinds of people. And we see this in the very beginning. The point of this parable is how the kingdom of God spreads. And it spreads through one seed, one heart at a time. In the very beginning of our passage, Luke makes it clear that it is for all kinds of people. He mentions originally that Jesus is traveling with the 12. If you remember, the 12 are men from very different backgrounds. You have fishermen who are your blue-collar folks. You have your tax collectors who are the most despised and the richest folks. And Jesus brought all of these people together from all of these different backgrounds, and they followed him because there is something different than their economic and social status, different than their clique of friends that brought them together. And it is the power of the gospel and something about Jesus' teaching that it got their attention. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. But I want you to see something else here, and that is this, that there were women who traveled and provided financial support. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't often think about this. I mean, often we think about the disciples and we think about the crowds, but Luke records here that there were also women who traveled with Jesus. All of them have been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Jesus did something powerful in their life. There's Mary Magdalene, there's Joanna, and there's Susanna. Now, we don't know much about the other two. We do know about Mary Magdalene, that she's there at the garden after he rose from the dead. But these people are following Jesus, and they are providing financial support to his ministry. Jesus was an itinerant. He didn't work jobs, and neither did his disciples, unless they probably needed to earn some cash. But it looks like here that these women traveled with Jesus and that they paid for some of his expenses out of their own means. And Chuza, the manager of Herod, the wife of Herod's household, would probably have been pretty wealthy herself, because her husband's job was a pretty prestigious thing. And so I want you to see here, though, that this was pretty countercultural. Because in the Jewish days, it's one thing to have male disciples that would follow you around and do that. But for Jesus to engage with women on this kind of a level was pretty radical. But it shows that the kingdom of God is for all kinds of people. And this is important for us to see. Now, in this parable, we also see, as I said, the word hearing is going to be there over and over again. I don't know if you picked it up, and especially at the end, where it's about hearing. And hearing isn't just listening, but hearing in the Bible is letting it sink deep down into our hearts as well. And Luke tells us that the kingdom, and Jesus tells us in this parable, that the kingdom is spread through the hearing of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We see this in Luke 8:8. Still other seed fell on the ground, and it came and yielded a crop. And so it's important for us as we see this, that this is how the kingdom of God is spread. And it's still our job today to proclaim the gospel, not just here at church, but with our lives and also with our words to people around us. But it's spread one person at a time. Now, the main point of this parable, as I said, is to help the disciples understand what's going to happen in the future. There's these great crowds, but as he kind of turns and transitions to Jerusalem, Jesus knows that he's going to become more controversial. And even though he's as popular can be to this day, at this point in time, down in a couple of months from now, he's going to be this same crowd is going to be yelling, "Crucify him, crucify him." And he knows that this is going to cause his disciples to question and to wonder what's going on. And so he gives them this framework of what's happening in people's hearts, that it seems like they're so attracted to the gospel, but it doesn't really sink in. And why is that? Simultaneously, he's also encouraging his disciples to stay tuned to God's word, and he warns those who don't will perish. That's his kind of language here, about the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God have been given to you. And then he quotes he quotes the Old Testament and says, look, some are going to see, but not really see. Some are going to hear, but not really hear. And so some folks who even may be presented with the gospel the same as others won't respond to it, and you shouldn't be caught off guard by that. And in his parable, he lays out four different kinds of people to help the disciples and even us understand how it is that some people respond to the gospel. The first one are folks who have hard hearts or hard soil. And the point here is that not everybody who hears the gospel is going to believe. If you were to come to our house, you'd see that our goats have worn a nice walking path between two pastures. Okay? We have a big pasture and kind of a small pasture here, and there's a little gate in between. And in that little gate there, they like to go back and forth through there because there's a nice shade in one spot. And that ground is hard. And even though I threw seed on it to try and get it to grow, and even though I even, you know, trying to rototill it a little bit to try and help that, they had pounded it down so much that the grass seed never really got a chance to take off. And Jesus says that the same thing is true of some folks who hear about Jesus in the kingdom of God, but they don't respond to the gospel. And there's a reason for it, because even though they may hear it, they don't really hear it in their hearts. And so it never gets into the deep of the resources of their hearts. That's why they don't ever respond. If we were to use an analogy, not everybody is a gardener. Trust me, I don't have a green thumb. That's my dad and my brother. They both do agriculture. But for me, I'm just lucky if I can get plants growing in my garden. So far, we're on 50-50 this year. Peas and beans, not looking so good, but tomatoes are, okay? But if you were to think about this in terms of hearing, this would be somebody who is hard of hearing but doesn't even really understand it. And so you could shout at them and they wouldn't even know that you're talking to them because their hearing is ill-equipped. And that's kind of, as I said, the way that Jesus says it works in some people's hearts. It's not even a teenager or, you know, trying to ignore you. They just can't hear it. A farmer went out to sow a seed and it scattered on the ground. And what he says is those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and snatches it away so it doesn't sink down into their hearts and they don't believe. And this reminds us too that we're in a spiritual battle. It isn't, you know, the devil is actively trying to keep people from faith, and he's actively working in that way. And so what Jesus is saying is some of these people, even though they're here and even though they're going to hear the gospel being preached by the Messiah himself, aren't necessarily going to put their hope and trust in Jesus because they have a hard heart. Their heart has not been plowed by the Holy Spirit, and it doesn't enable them to put their hope and trust in him. And so what we see here is that this is the reason why some people don't ever put their hope and trust in Jesus. And for us, this is what we will see today as well. It makes sense in our own lives, where some people just don't seem to hear it. They don't seem to click. There's another group of people, and they have shallow hearts. The image is of rocky soil. And what this means is that some are superficially attracted for a short time, but then when the stresses of life come, it kind of fades away. This summer, we planted some willow trees on our property. We planted 40 of them. We were looking for a hedge. We want privacy because we have two roads that kind of go on either side of our property. And so we planted them in the beginning of the summer. My girls literally took a watering can, and they loved me for planting all these trees, trust me. But they diligently watered every single tree with the watering can, and Annika can tell you that, and Amelia can tell you that. And they did a great and amazing job. And so they would do that. They would water it. Well, we were gone in the 116-degree weather. And even though we got a rig set up for the person who watched our house to do watering with the kind of a drip irrigation system, the heat totally destroyed them. Not all of them, but the ones where the sun was beating on them the most are completely dry. Even though they have these awesome shoots, they're dead. Why? Because they didn't get the moisture they needed, and the roots hadn't gone deep enough for them to get the deeper water. And so when the heat came, they fried. Some of you guys, that's the way God, I know people that's the way that's worked. There's a point in time where they're excited about church and or excited about the Bible or excited about something, and it seems like it's caught their attention. But as time goes on, it seems like their faith kind of fades away. Well, why did that happen? I mean, we can wonder, what is it? Well, Jesus tells us that the reason why it happened is because they had their attention and it started to kind of grow, but the roots never really formed. And so when the difficulties of life came, the sun came, they shriveled up. If you were to think of this in terms of hearing, think of it as somebody who is a channel surfer. Do any of you ever have to ride cars with people who like to flick channels? You can pray for my wife because I'm one of those, okay? I mean, it's like commercial on TV or commercial on the radio, and if I'm paying attention to it, I got to flip it to the next thing to listen to something else, right? Because who wants to listen to commercials? They're just trying to take your money anyway, right? And so there it is, right? They're listening for a little bit, but then something else shifts their attention, and they move on. They're hearers, but then they move, okay? And this is the case, okay, of the way it works in some people's hearts. There's an attraction there. There's something, maybe a gain temporarily, but the gospel doesn't really grab a hold of their hearts, and so they shift to something else. And so for some of us, we have loved ones who are in this. Maybe that even feels like that's your own life story of, you know, it's like I have this, and then I went this direction, and I just don't understand. Well, Jesus says to his disciples that some folks will be that way. There will be this growth. But the worries, the situations of life will take it away, and they'll wilt because they never really had the deep roots they needed to get the nutrients to survive a lifelong of faith. There's another group, and that is choked out hearts. Now, in these, they develop the roots, but And they start to grow, and it seems like it's all of a sudden an awesome thing, but then something comes, and it grabs it, and it chokes it out. The image is that choked out hearts, some come, and they're controlled by other things. We have a couple of trees in our area, in our home, that have that. They grew up great, and they're about 6 or 7 feet tall, but then all of a sudden, all the bigger trees around them started filling in and taking their lights, and they no longer got all the nutrients they need, and so they're dead, and they need to be taken down. Now, the image that Jesus uses is of literally weeds coming and choking the life out of them and taking all of that. But this is the image that he has. And for some of us, it's the same thing. We know people that's the case. It's like there's this faith that starts to develop, but as soon as something happens, either bad or in some cases, it's not even bad because the examples that he gives are riches and pleasures. There's two things, worries and riches and pleasures. They can both choke us out. The hard things of life can choke people out, but also for some, it's like all these other things are more important, and so they just kind of let things go. And so as we see here, it's that Jesus says that there are some people who it's going to look like there's great growth, but all of a sudden they're choked out. If we were to use this hearing analogy to try and describe this for those of you who aren't gardeners, it would be like you have this little boom box and you're sitting in front of a concert. For me, I don't know how many of you have ever been to the Gorge Amphitheater, but I used to get to take my youth group kids there when I was a youth pastor to a Creation Music Festival. And it's this huge amphitheater. And it's like listening to a little radio station, listening to and when it's silent, you can hear it, the noise. But as soon as those big old speakers come on and they blast it, you're not going to be able to hear it, right? I mean, think about being at a concert and you're trying to talk to somebody while the band is playing. You can literally be right next to them and you can't hear them because of all the surrounding noise. Well, the same thing can happen in our own hearts. The truth of the gospel can be there, but sometimes it's the amplification of it, of the cultural noise, that background noise that kind of overwhelms it and it sucks you away. This is one of the reasons why people fall away. It's because they've allowed the things of life to control them and it chokes out things. But Jesus says there's a fourth way, and those are the attentive hearts, those that listen and they're in the good soil. And in them, the gospel takes root in their lives. He uses this image of a tree that's beautiful and it grows strong and powerful, and it's able to endure all kinds of things. Why? Because the Spirit has produced the right soil, and it's given them the nutrients that it needs, and it's empowered their growth. And so Jesus says to his disciples, look, some people are going to fade away. Matter of fact, of the crowd, it's probably going to be more people are going to fade away of the people who are here than those who stick with it. But he tells his disciples, even though life's going to happen and there's going to be all kinds of things that can choke out it feel like it's going to choke out your faith, don't worry, because if you continue to hear the word of God, if God's opened up your heart to this leading, your faith will endure all of this and you will grow. To use an analogy of sound, I have a pair of headphones. They're the wireless noise cancellation. Do you guys know those? On Saturday nights, usually I kind of our routine is we eat supper together, and then the girls and Steph go and do their thing at night, and I kind of put my finishing touches on the sermon and the service and all that at night. And to help me kind of focus, I usually have music. But these headphones are awesome because they have this ability to listen to the sound around them. And then this is where I'm going to get really geeky on you and engineering on you. They literally create a sound wave the exact opposite of those frequencies so that it cancels it out. So if there's a wave here, their sound wave goes like this and just cancels it out. And so even my girls could be screaming in joy, or my wife could be watching gymnastics and yelling at Simone Biles and you know in the Olympics, although it hasn't come yet. I've been more excited about water polo than anything else. But they can do that, and because I have these headphones on, it doesn't overwhelm me. I can hear that song that I want it to hear because they're designed that way. And what Jesus says is that the Spirit has the ability to do that in our own lives. Even though there's all this chaos around, even there's all these claims to truth that's out there, that still in those moments, his true disciples, those that the Spirit's opened up their hearts and prepared it, are going to be able to endure because the Spirit's at work empowering their listening and helping them to grow. So today I want to ask you this question. What kind of soil do you feel like and why? Now, this is an important question because oftentimes when we look at this, we can kind of judge ourselves and we can be critical. Or even some of us may look at this and look at our loved ones and say, this is kind of frustrating because right now it feels like they've walked away from the faith. And I wonder if they're one of these three or four. Well, the truth of the gospel is this. We don't know what the end's going to bring. Because this parable focuses on two different things, the beginning and the end. But the one thing that's kind of thread that's in all of this is that God is preparing hearts and soil today. Now, there's a part of this analogy that you and I can easily miss, but the people of Jesus' day wouldn't, and that is this. They would know that when a rabbi speaks about a gardener, they would go right away, they would know who the gardener is. Now, I want you to think about where in the Bible is there a story about a garden that somebody created? I'll give you a clue. It's in the beginning. Now, it's bigger than that, right? But what we know is Genesis 2 verse 8 says, "Now the Lord had planted a garden in the east in Eden, and there he put man and formed him." And so what the Jewish folks would recognize is that God is the one who tills the soil. He is the one who's preparing hearts today. He's the gardener who does all the work. And so for us, for you and I, who put our hope and trust in Jesus, that's a powerful thing. What it means is that even though life may feel like it's chaotic, and sometimes it may feel like the noise of our culture or the things of life are overwhelming us, that God's Holy Spirit is going to empower our growth. He's going to give us what we need to endure. And this is something that can give us hope because, quite frankly, sometimes we feel like our faith is hanging on by a thread. What I want you to see here is that today's life snapshot is not the final answer. There's even hope for those who seem hard-hearted now. Because this parable focuses on two events, when the seed is planted and when it's harvested. And we live in between those. And so for those of you who have kids who it seemed like there's no way that they will put their hope and trust in Jesus, I want to encourage you to keep on praying for them because you never know how God could work. He has converted people like Saul who are literally murdering Christians. And in an instant, he changes their heart. And that same Spirit is at work in our lives today. Now, I don't know if you can see this very well, but there's an image here of a blueberry bush. Isn't it nice that we had 116-degree weather because it's so many sermon illustrations today? We had somebody who watched our house, and she diligently watered every single one of our blueberry bushes, and we have about 11 of them. One blueberry bush, our cat and dog found a mole underneath it and dug and basically uprooted it, and we kind of put it in there, and we're watering it. You'll see the bricks there. Normally, it had these hazelnuts that we put so the slugs don't get them, but they had put them all away before we got, and so we just were thankful that we had time to before we left, so we didn't have time to put a new bunch in there. But when we came, the gal who watched our house was kind of sheepish. She's like, "I tried to water every plant, and like most of them look pretty good, but this one I think is dead." And if you would have looked at it, it was dead. Every tree on it was brown, or every leaf on it was brown. And I told her, "Don't worry about it. You know, we kind of put it, threw it back together. It was in a really sunny spot." And then I did what I do because I'm not a gardener. I Googled it. How do you help trees that have been, you know, killed by the heat? And it said, just water it. Because you never know, maybe the roots will form. And so what did my girls who diligently water every day do? They watered it. Last Friday night, we had a little bonfire with the propane thing. We didn't do the go against the burn ban. It was on my concrete. We have a little propane fire pit. We can legally do it. We did some s'mores, and we were sitting around it, and we were watching. And Steph goes to me, like, that thing's more alive than it is dead. And you can, I don't know if you can see the photo. It may not be that great, but it literally has more green than it does brown right now. I wish I would have had a before photo, but if you did, just imagine everything brown. If you would have judged that tree's life 2 weeks ago, you would have thought there was no hope. But through the watering and all of that, there is now new life. Well, why do I say this? Because many of us have loved ones that we desperately want to know Jesus. And there are times where it feels like they are one of the three plants and have walked away. And I want you to know that there is still hope for them, not because they're great, but because God is bigger than any unbelief they may have. Now, I don't know what the final story is going to be. Only God does. But that I want you to hear that the story of the parable reminds us that just because people seem far away from God now doesn't mean that that's the end. Because who knows how God could work in their lives. Now, there's one other thing I want you to realize, though, and that is this. The parable describes how God works and how people kind of have faith and don't or never have faith and all of those kinds of things. And it explains kind of why some people turn away from the Lord. But at its heart, and the reason why we know this is because he quotes those passages where he reminds his disciples to keep on hearing, to keep on listening, and not just kind of listening and not letting it kind of sink, but to listen deep down inside their hearts. And so it's a challenge for us who say we have faith in Christ to keep our focus on hearing God's word. It should say, not work, sorry, in hard times. And remember that he can even use our pain and suffering to deepen our faith. That's the point. Again, it's the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, tilling up the land, adding nutrients, adding the water when we need it. But my next job on those plants that I just showed you is I'm going to prune off those dead things so that only there's new life there. Not that that plant can feel, I don't think. But I'm sure pruning isn't going to be a fun process, right? And for us, when we feel the pruning of the Spirit, when we feel some of these parts of our life kind of almost die away, it's not easy. But we need to remember that God is sovereign over all. And he can use even the most difficult things in our life to bring growth and renewal. Our job is to keep on listening to his word and do everything we can within our power through the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives to be open to his leading. And what happens in dark times is this. Our root system has to grow deeper. Those willow trees that I was telling you about that fried, had their roots gone deeper, which my dad, the agriculture guy, told me they never will, they would have survived because the water level on the top had already dried up, but underneath there was a deeper water reservoir. And the hard things that we're going through right now are things that God is going to use to deepen our roots so we become more and more aligned with him and reliant on him. See, it's so easy for the surface level things to consume us. And they can feel like they're times of little refreshing, but what we really need to do is have roots go deep down into the word of God. And a lot of that just comes through difficult life experiences where those things that we think would fill us don't. Relationships, money, job, success, everything. And when those things don't provide us what we need, we got to go deeper. But trust that God the gardener can do that through the power of the Holy Spirit in your lives. So I want to leave you with these two verses because I think they remind us, for those of you who feel like you're suffering and feel like you're going through difficult circumstances, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. The chaos of life, the hard things of life, do not need to destroy us because God, the gardener, is at work in our lives. And 1 Peter 3 through 7, and this should sound familiar because it was our assurance of pardon, says this: Praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance he kept in heaven for you, who through faith were shielded by God's power until the coming of salvation that is ready to be revealed at this last time. In this you can greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. These things have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes though refined by fire, may result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. And this, people, is our hope, not in ourselves and our feebleness, but rather in the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, that we have a master gardener who is shaping our faith and doing all the work behind the scenes that we may not even understand or ever be able to really comprehend. But he's giving us the nutrients we need to help our faith grow. And we need to continue to listen to his word and let it sink down into our hearts and trust that the power of the Holy Spirit is at work even when life is chaotic and even when life is hard. And for those of you who have loved ones who have walked away, I would encourage you to think about this parable and remember, we don't know the final answer, but God does, and he may break them and even use the difficult things that they're going through to develop a faith inside of them. So have hope, because God is still at work in our life today. Let's pray.
You are listening to a sermon from Crossway Church in Battleground, Washington. You can learn more about our church online at crosswaychurchwa.com. We invite you to attend a worship service on Sundays at 10 a.m. at 311 North Parkway.